Welcome to the Disneyland Forever podcast, your source for all things from the happiest place on earth. For more updates, make sure that you follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Disneyland Forever, and you can check out our website, disneylandforever.com. Hi, everyone.
Konnichiwa.
Okay. It's Jordan.
And Daniel.
So, first of all, I mean, I know that we talk about weather, but it's just because this ticked us off this last week that we had really, really great, like, spring weather, then it snowed for a few days.
Yep.
Not okay.
There was, like, 2 feet of snow in the mountains.
So
it's nuts.
Weird thing is, by the time we're even recording this, the weather is significantly better and supposed to get, like, really, really warm again. So I guess winter was, like, and another thing. That's just that. Anyway, if you've been following us on Instagram, you know that we just literally, the day we're recording this, the day we got back from our little mini trip to Disneyland, and it was for the express purpose of Club 33.
Club what?
And for those of you who don't really know what Club 33 is, we're going to talk a little bit more about that. I know for a lot of Disney people, all you have to say is Club 33. They know exactly what you're talking about. But I know there's some people that don't.
Some of my friends who are huge Disney fans were like, what? What's this?
Yeah. So we'll talk a little bit more about it so you can understand like why that's significant. We're going to talk mostly about Club 33. So that if you are somebody who doesn't know about it, or if you want to just look like you're really smart to people who you're traveling with.
Just information.
It's just cool information, just like nods. And you're never really going to walk through the spaces the same way again in Disneyland or California Adventure, knowing what's there. It's just kind of a cool thing, and there's a lot of Disney history to it. So we're going to talk a little bit about that. And then a couple of highlights of things that we did experience, because we were also there and did experience a little bit of Pixar Fest and Season of the Force. Just like the tiniest little bit.
Yes.
So we'll talk about some of those.
Our whole trip was like 39 hours.
Yes. So it's not like there's a lot to go off of, but we have some information we can give you. So before we get too far into this, we have a new review.
Yes, from Casey16. They said, thanks for the Disney fix. Thank you for helping get my Disney fix in while I'm away from the parks. Dan and Jordan crack me up each Thursday. Love all the Disney recaps and tips. I'm a Disneylander hoping to plan a WDW trip soon and loved the recent recap. Glad you enjoy and... reach out to us if you have any questions about WDW.
Yeah,
we know about
true.
It too.
We can help about that too. So again, thank you to everybody who leaves these reviews and lets us know that apparently we are funny because
we think we are.
We think we're hilarious.
But it's good to know that people agree.
So if you haven't done so yet, you can also leave us a 5-star rating on Apple or Spotify or Audible. And if you would like to take a little bit more time, you can send us a written review on Apple. And we really, really appreciate those. So, and it helps us be found and all that. Like it's great to read. It helps us out so much. So thank you so much.
Makes us so happy when you read them.
We actually do have quite a bit of news this week. Let's just start with this because I don't want to spend a lot of time on it because everyone's spending all the time on this and I don't think it deserves it yet. The Anaheim City Council had their final vote on the Disneyland Forward project.
Unlike their vote to allow for a vote.
I don't understand how the process works. But do you know if it passed unanimously?
I do not.
I doubt it did, but it did pass the Anaheim City Council. And so that is going to be moving forward now. Just as a reminder, this is that... Disneyland was just asking Anaheim to redo zoning around the Disneyland Resort with the property that they already own. And so Anaheim has approved that. And Disneyland is just saying, like, they have released concept art of, like, you know, if the sky was the limit here and we could zone things the way we wanted, here's something that we could do. But everyone's taking that as law, as this is what they're going to do. That's not necessarily the case.
It was unanimous, 7-0. Oh,
interesting. That's not what I expected. If you'll see all these, like, people keep talking about, like, oh, they're going to expand the parks here or there. They could. I don't know. That doesn't mean they're going
this
to.
This is, like, an overarching reach for the stars, hoping that something of this happens to be able to allow zoning and changes and stuff for the property they own. So,
yeah. So that's why we're not spending a ton of time on it, because it's good. It's big for Disneyland's future.
Yeah, things are going to change for sure because of this, but we don't know what or when.
Yeah. So there's that. I also wanted to just do a quick kind of correction. I think it was last week's episode when we were talking about Season of the Force and all the other May the 4th offerings for Star Wars Day. They were saying, like, there's nowhere that says that Hyperspace Mountain will be ending. Well, we didn't look in the right places, apparently. We were expecting for there to be, like, a day or two where Hyperspace Mountain would be closed and then reopen as Space Mountain. That's what they typically do. It doesn't take a lot for them to switch it over, but usually they have it closed for, like, a day or two. They apparently are not planning on doing that. If you go on Disneyland's website, it says that Space Mountain is expected to return June 3rd, which is the day after the Season of the Force ends.
All right.
So we will be there on the 2nd and the 3rd, so we can tell you whether or not that actually happens.
Yeah.
But as of right now, apparently that's the plan, is that it'll go back to Classic Space Mountain June 3rd.
Yeah, it's not like they have so much random stuff spread out inside the ride that they need to remove, like Haunted Mansion Holiday. So
yeah. Other little tidbit is that between, I don't know if these are all, they've added a lot of Magic Band Plus interactive points throughout the parks. Some of them, like in California Adventure, the Pixar Fest statue that's in Buena Vista Street, that one will interact with Magic Bands. We heard one that it just went ka-chow.
Yes, while we were walking.
So we did hear that. And then I had almost forgotten until you found it, that there's a Big Owl sculpture apparently by Grizzly River Run?
I think so. I can't tell by the picture, but...
Those who don't know who Big Al is, he's from the Country Bear Jamboree. He hasn't been at Disneyland in years and years and years. And we don't know if he's left Disney World yet or not.
Which one is he again? Is he the... There's blood on the saddle.
Yep, that's him.
It was sand. Is it saddle?
Saddle.
Sounds like he's saying sand to me.
Well, it's because you're not supposed to be able to understand everything he's saying. So apparently those have been added. It's just if you have a Magic Band Plus, it's something else that can interact with your Magic Band. You can make it do things. It's kind of interesting. All right. You saw more about this, so you should probably talk about that one.
So we assumed but didn't know for sure that since Fantasmic is coming back later this month.
May 24th.
I was like May 20-something. They are for sure bringing back dining packages. They're available to reserve starting now. I mean, starting before now. But they're only at the Blue Bayou. So that's interesting. No Hungry Bear yet. No Riverbell, was it?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a 5-course meal, which sounds intriguing. Lots of options, including a like surf and turf and an Oscar-style filet mignon, which that might make it worth it. So it's $89 per adult. Or $35 per child. And yeah, it has a lot of offerings and then like a cute little dessert. And the non-alcoholic drinks come with a collectible, whatever that means. So,
And then I assume this is just going to be like it was before where they'll have a spot where they can sit at the front of the water's edge.
Yep.
That's what I assume.
Yeah, sir. They said there's a designated area.
So the dining packages are the easiest way to guarantee that you're going to be able to see the show.
And
that you're going to have a great spot for it too. Standby is always available, but it fills up really fast, especially for these first couple of months. It's going to fill up fast because there's so much backlog of people to see it.
Or had it and then got canceled, like our friends. When we did it at the Blue Bayou before, we got this little cushion that we got to keep.
They were still doing up until the Great Fire last year.
So maybe, I'm assuming they still have some. So
maybe
you might get a little thing to sit on.
Also, we had just mentioned last week, like briefly, that they had taken the construction walls down part of Downtown Disney. Well, now they kind of quickly opened up Paseo, Centrico, and Tiendita at Downtown Disney. So all three of those are open. They're all in the same location. They're in the central part of Downtown Disney.
Where Cattell and Uva Bar used to be.
Yes. Paseo is on the second floor of that building. It's exactly where Cattell was, and it's upscale. I think it's Mexican.
Yeah,
Cattell was Spanish.
I can't remember what the creator calls it, but yeah, it's
I can't remember.
Yeah,
it's Mexican inspired. It's basically Mexican. And then Centrico is where the Uva Bar was, and that actually has a little bit more, has some of the same offerings as Paseo, but they have a little bit more like traditional, almost like Tex-Mex stuff. Almost. I think it's a little bit nicer than that. Obviously a lot of great drinks. And then Tiendita is where Sprinkles was. Mm-hmm. And that is the quick service Mexican food. And that will also serve breakfast. So it's going to be another breakfast option if you are heading into the parks early. You can go over to Tiendita.
Hmm.
Nice. So those all three are open. And as of right now, they are accepting reservations, but they are not added to the Disneyland app yet. So you have to go to OpenTable to book reservations as of now. I'm sure they're probably going to, not for Tiendita. You don't need reservations for Tiendita. But I'm sure they're going to change the app soon to add Paseo and Cetrico. But right now you can only do it on OpenTable.
Interesting. So there's another website, like we have tried to do, what was it, Ballast Point?
For Ballast Point, yeah.
That was confusing and annoying.
All right, and then earlier this week, Disney did this whole halfway to Halloween celebration. Basically what it is that they were announcing all the details for Mickey's Not-So-Scary Halloween Party in Florida.
Woo!
And when they
starting
do that,
in June, I'm assuming.
No, August. And when at the same time they do that, they always just figure we may as well give details for a lot of other Halloween offerings throughout the company. And so they also gave us our dates for the Oogie Boogie Bash. And it's not really terribly surprising because we already knew when Halloween time was starting.
It's always Tuesday, Thursday, Sunday. Is that right?
Yeah. So starting August 25th, which is, I believe, a Sunday, it's most Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Sundays between August 25th and Halloween that they will have Oogie Boogie Bash. There's like one Thursday and a couple of Sundays in September that are not included, but the rest of it is Sunday, Tuesday, Thursday. So I could go over all the dates, but
that would take our whole episode.
Unless you're going at the beginning of September, like the very beginning of September, it's Sunday, Tuesday, Thursday.
We don't know when the tickets are going on sale, but probably soon, probably in the next few weeks.
No, yeah. And as far as we know, the tickets, I think they list online as they will range between $139 and $189. Dollars depending on the night.
Definitely Halloween's 189.
Halloween will be 189
and sells out quick.
So we will let you know when we hear when these are going to go on sale. But my guess is that we're not going to hear for like another month, maybe 2 months before. Maybe probably a month.
Probably a month. Yeah.
Probably sometime in June is when we'll probably see them go on sale. At any rate,
follow us on Instagram.
We will let you know
to find that out.
Yes. Let's do a couple of quick trip recap things. Just like some updates around the parks that we noticed just for you to know what's going on.
There's this huge, huge thing in the Esplanade.
Yes.
That we did not know about and actually missed walking
in. I didn't know about it, but I completely did not notice it.
Huge Pixar Fest thing, like 25 stories high.
It's not 25 stories tall.
It's pretty tall.
It's really tall.
I don't get it.
In the Esplanade.
It's fun, I guess.
And
whatever.
Neither of us are super big fans of the big sculpture they have in Town Square on Main Street. It's cool.
Like that times 12.
It's objectively cool looking, but if you're standing in front of it facing the castle, it actually blocks the castle from view.
Yeah.
So it's a little bit like, oh. I mean, I know that the Mickey pumpkin does too, but I think the Mickey pumpkin is cuter.
Yeah.
And the Christmas tree is prettier.
Yes.
So there's that. Let's see. Season of the Force. We didn't really do too many things Season of the Force. We did see signs every once in a while for that scavenger hunt thing. Like,
yeah, I was confused by that.
Decode the orange cylinder or decode the black cylinder. We chose not to really look into any of that.
We did do hyperspace twice.
Twice.
And Star Tours once.
I still say with hyperspace, it's the first half never blows me away, ever. The second half, I think, is really, really cool.
On Star Tours, we had Ahsoka as the, like, talks about the spy in the middle, in the interlude part.
Yeah, so we hadn't seen that one before.
Yeah, so Jordan loves Ahsoka. He was happy.
That was fun. And it had Chopper in the background.
Yep.
I love Chopper.
Your Chopper impression.
No. I don't do a very... That's a chicken. about the only, like, Star Wars-y thing. It was difficult because happened to be there on the day where there was a Star Wars night taking place. And so Disneyland closed early. So even if we wanted to see the Fire of the Rising Moons, it wasn't going on that night. So we wouldn't have been able to watch it anyway.
Daytime was not super busy, which was weird.
We expected it to be crazy busy and it wasn't.
The longest wait was like 45 minutes for something. So
yeah, it was not bad at all. But I had that juice. I don't remember what it was called, but the juice at the Roasters.
It was really good.
That's just there
very
for Season of the
Bright
First.
And
it was very tasty.
Yeah, fruity.
I can't remember if there was anything else that I specifically saw. I know that there was some more merchandise. We definitely saw people walking around with those worn Stormtrooper helmet popcorn buckets, which, they're fine.
They're fine.
It was difficult to really see Season of the Force stuff everywhere. I gotta say, unless you were looking for food, it was difficult to locate.
Yeah.
Because it just felt like it was just run-of-the-mill Star Wars stuff, other than Hyperspace Mountain. But that was there. For Pixar Fest, we did not go over to the Fantasyland Theater while that Pixar Pals Playtime Party thing was going on. So we can't really report anything on that. We had some of the food at Paradise Garden Grill, which was really good.
We forgot that the food carts don't open quite yet.
We saw the food carts there.
It's next week.
But yeah, they open... What, 10th or something? This open the day after this drops is when those food booths will actually open. So we did see them there, but they weren't available. We did watch the Better Together parade. It was...
It's much better than...
It was better than the Pixar
Play parade.
Yes.
Right? The song is catchy.
In a good way.
Yeah.
It definitely gets in your head, but I actually kind of liked it.
Mm-hmm.
I still think that the Turning Red float is the best of all the floats.
Yeah.
The Luca float is always a little disappointing.
It was not executed well.
No. I understand their idea, but it doesn't translate well the way they did it.
I think it probably needs like one or two more floats. It was longer than I thought. It was like 15 minutes, right? I thought it would be only like a 10-minute thing with how
few... Well, it was 15 minutes because there was enough space in between each float for people to cross in front of the parade.
Yes, and like dancers in between. It was cute.
It was a cute parade. It wasn't like anything super amazing, but it was cute.
And the last float was a little underwhelming. Like, they should have had a little more pizzazz for the last one.
Yeah, it was like the last one was like, here's some other Pixar characters.
Here's like four other Pixar characters.
Yeah, it had the Incredibles, it had Miguel, it had Woody and Buzz and Jesse, and then... Mike and Sully, and that was it.
Yeah.
Like, oh, that's to represent the rest of the Pixar characters.
Et cetera.
All right. It definitely felt like, here's new Pixar, and then at the end is, here's classic Pixar, moving on. But it was kind of fun. It's okay.
Yeah.
We did see everyone who was lined up ready to have the dessert party for Better Together, and still don't see that it's worth the money.
I mean, yeah, the food looked good, as usual, but...
Yeah, it's $69 for that. It's a little bit hard to justify. But it's there. If you want to do it, go and do it. Have at it. So now let's talk about Club 33. So for those of you who do not know, Club 33 is actually, it's an exclusive club, members only, located in Disneyland. There are club iterations of Club 33 in Disneyland, Walt Disney World, Tokyo Disneyland, and Shanghai Disneyland. They're iterations. They're not the same club. They are all their own individual clubs. So members from one are not members of the others. But they do have... It's like it's just a historical thing because it's been around in Disneyland for so long.
Yeah, Disneyland was the first, obviously.
Yeah. So this all kind of came about like when Walt Disney was alive, there would be VIPs that would come to Disneyland and he wanted a place to host them. And back when the Plaza Inn was known as the Red Wagon Inn, it looked a little different back then. But there was this private dining room behind it that Walt would take VIPs to. It was kind of small, but there was this place that he could take them to.
It's now where there's the world's worst bathrooms.
Yes. And I think there's other cast things back there. Yeah. But apparently when they were doing the New York World's Fair in 1964, Walt was really impressed with all the VIP lounges that the different companies that were hosting the pavilions had for their VIPs. And so he wanted to do something very, very similar. So they were developing New Orleans Square. And so he decided that since they were already going to be kind of building a much larger apartment space for him and his family above the land, that they would continue with that space and build this large like club and lounge for...
Yeah, because they had the bedrooms for his mm-hmm. grandchildren, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
So they built this as well. Walt never lived to see the completion of either, because he died in 1966, just a couple months after New Orleans Square opened and before any of the attractions opened. And Club 33 opened in June 1967 is when it first opened. And it gets its name from its address. The way that the cast member explained it to us is that it got its name because back then Disneyland was a dry park, served no alcohol. And in order to get a liquor license, they needed to have a street address. And so since they were building these fake streets around New Orleans Square,
They added the name Royal Street.
They added Royal Street and started giving the places addresses. And if you look, there are addresses in front of all these different shops.
Which I didn't even notice until yesterday.
I had noticed it because I kind of heard this
there's
before.
Like 21 and is so, like this, the, I can't remember. And then there's like 20.
21 Royal Street. Yeah. There's an entrance for 21 Royal. That's where it gets its name, that private dining experience. The Blue Bayou is, I believe, 31 Royal Street. And then there's still a door right next to the Blue Bayou that has a big number 33 on it. That was the entrance to the original Club 33. And that's why it was there. It was called Club 33. In 2014, they refurbed all the club. They expanded it a little bit. They had to also move the elevator because the original one was no longer ADA compliant.
Which she showed us showed the old it. Elevator. I was like, yeah, that's...
I don't think I would have fit in there.
Nobody's going to fit in that.
So then they had to move the entrance. So the entrance is no longer at 33 Royal Street. It's at 33 Orleans Street. And so there's another door there. It's actually covered. It's underneath a bridge. And that's where the new entrance is for Club 33.
I don't think the city cares about the address of liquor licenses anymore, but it's just still fun.
That's the story that they told us about it. The original Club 33, they kept calling it the Heritage. Is that what they called it?
Yes.
The Heritage Club? So the original one, all the interiors were designed by a lady named Dorothea Redmond, who she did a lot of work in Hollywood. She worked on the production design for... I looked this up to make sure it was true, for Gone with the Wind and for Rear Window and other really big movies like that. And she then eventually came to Disney, and she worked a lot with Disney and Walt Disney Imagineering, and so she designed the original spaces. When they refurbed it in 2014, Kim Irvine took over. Her claim to fame, not only is she a wonderful Disney Imagineer, her mother... is Leota Toombs, who...
Madame Leota.
She is the actual face of Madame Leota in the Haunted Mansion and the voice of Little Leota at the end. And so they're the ones that... She's the one that did the redesign in 2014.
And it's her face that they use for the Haunted Mansion holiday because she looks similar.
Yeah, she looks so much like her mother. And so they're like, we need to re-record this. So it's Kim Irvine, who is Madame Leota in the Haunted Mansion holiday. It's kind of cool. So Club 33, it's very, very exclusive. No one actually knows for sure how many members there are. There's some reports that say there's only a few hundred members. It's very difficult to get in. You do get like special perks and things that other people do not get. And it's just one of those things where big diehard Disney fans, they just want to go inside because it's also something you're like, I can't get into it.
Yeah. So to get in the new door, there's a doorbell and then a little thing that you have to scan your card. People are allowed to go in who aren't members, but you have to be allowed or like invited by a member or be with a member. So,
yes. And so that's where a lot of its mystique comes from, but it's also like, you don't realize how many spaces in the parks are actually in use, but you just don't never notice them as a regular park goer. And then you go into these spaces with Club 33 and you're like, oh my gosh.
And the moment
it's all over.
The moment we walked it, even past the door, it was silent.
So weird how
like,
silent it was.
There's people right behind this door and we can't hear them. It was kind of cool. So we have always loved Club 33. We've always wanted to at least go in.
I just really want to quickly mention, like, there was, like, I remember when I was younger, me and my one sister, when we first found out about Club 33, the next time we went to Disneyland, we happened to see someone who was dressed really, really fancy. and because it's really, really fancy in there, like, they've always served alcohol. It's always this really, exclusive bougie place. And we saw people who were dressed fancy. My sister went up to them like, excuse me, are you going to Club 33? And they're like, yes, we are. We're like, this is so,
can I touch you? So like 10 years ago, we noticed when we were staying at the Grand Californian that on the third floor there's a desk that has 33 and then there's a cast member that sits there. So we just asked like, so how do you join this? And like, what does that entail? And she's like, well, if you're interested, we can give you some information. Here's the person you email. So we emailed and we're like, you know, down the line in a few years, we would love to join. And so we were in touch with this lady and, about 5 years, I would just email randomly, like about every year or so, like, we're still interested to learn about it and see what it entails and how to get in. And then about 5 years ago, I emailed and then an automatic reply came back saying address undeliverable. And I'm like, no, there's no more connection with this. So we stopped by that same desk another trip after, and we're like, we've been emailing back and forth with this cast member. How does it work? And the lady was like, nah, we've changed how we do it. You kind of have to be referred by other members. If we have your information, it's still there.
Our hearts sank.
Yeah. We were like, oh man.
We know no members.
No. And then, like a few months after that or so, we got an email saying, here's this official form that you need to fill out and fax back to us or email back to us. And then this is kind of more official of what we do now. So we did that, and then radio silence for 4 years.
Something like that.
And yeah, we don't know any members. I've still wanted to go inside, but yeah. So then we were at Disneyland in March.
Remember our trip in March?
Yeah, in March of this year. Right after we had finished at the Tenaya Spa at the Grand Californian, I got an email that said, "Dear Daniel, this is Club 33. This is all paraphrasing. See that you were interested in joining
this the club. This is a long paraphrase.
The club. would you like to schedule a Zoom call to talk about potential interest or a Zoom meeting about potential interest? Note, this does not constitute an invitation to join the club, blah, 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 blah."
Can I also just say his paraphrase is longer than the original email?
Oh, it is not. It was at least two words longer. There was a "the" and an "of."
Well, now it's longer.
So we were replied like, yes, of course we're interested. We never thought this day would come. So we had the Zoom call with one of their membership
peeps,
cast members, specialists, whatever. It went well, but it was interesting because he was asking like, what are you in any country clubs? Are you in any golf clubs? Are you?
That is a country club.
Do you know the president as you of can the see, world? Like, we're like,
he literally, they were just asking a lot of like get to know you questions. Like they did ask, are you a member of any country clubs? But they asked like, what sort of places do you donate to on a regular basis?
What do you like to do in your spare time? Stuff like that. So, I mean, I think they could tell we were interested because we were like, we do all things Disney. We have a Disney podcast. We go to Disneyland constantly, even though we're from Utah.
They did go over all of the perks that come with a Club 33 membership and the price tag. We don't need to go over that right now, but it is not small.
No.
It is the opposite of small.
Yes. It's not as high as I kind of thought it would be.
That is true.
And it comes with...
Well, it's actually lower than most... If you Googled it online, less than what the totals say online.
It's nice. It comes with two Premier Passes, which used to exist before COVID, the ones that let you do Disneyland and Disney World, and a few other, like, get some extra tickets for friends and family. So it does have some great perks for the price. So he ended the call, and then about 2 weeks later...
But I'm just going to say, about 2 weeks later, something happened that I called immediately after our Zoom call ended.
We got an email saying, this is an official invitation. Would you like to join Club 33?
So he went and he got a loan.
Yes, for the money for it.
We do not just sit here and bathe in money.
No, but we... This is a lifelong goal, and it's still doable after the initial initiation fee.
I should say we got a loan for the initiation fee.
Yeah.
Because that's the biggest part.
The yearly fee is not bad. Not terrible.
The initiation fee is pretty big, but it's a one-time thing.
Yep. So we're like, yep, we are just going to do it. Freaking out, totally. And it's interesting, too, that the membership start dates for... is March 1st. So we had gotten this email like 3 days after.
Which is why at that Zoom call, I said, I think we're going to get something soon because we got the email like March 3rd.
Yep, still, yep. And then we were invited middle to late March. So the people who are in the club, someone has to either die, they're not transferable to family members, or just not pay their, like, say they're not going to renew.
Choose not to renew, yeah.
And then they go to the next people on some sort of magic waiting list, which now we actually have no idea how it's done, so don't quote us on this.
If there's any of you that are like, ooh, tell me how I can be a part of Club 33. Honestly, we have no idea.
You are always welcome to go by, it's Grand Californian, third floor. It's just in the middle there. It's not secretive. Anyone can walk by there and just ask questions if you're interested. The cast members are super nice. So.
Yeah. But they did mention to us when we were talking with them yesterday that, yeah, the membership process has changed a lot in the last 10 years.
Yep.
So we do not know how it works now.
No.
But we know how it worked back then.
But if people were following us on Instagram saying, oh my gosh, you got to eat there. Actually, we didn't get to eat in the Grand Salon. But,
no.
But we are actually members and it's so amazing and we're so excited.
Yeah. So... It's just weird. It's sometimes surreal. It doesn't feel, yeah, it still feels kind
of surreal.
It just
happened yesterday, so, well, 2 days from when you're
hearing this. So in Club 33, there the spaces that are in for Disneyland Club 33 members, most of them are there in New Orleans Square. The entryway is called the Court of Angels. It's actually a space that used to be open to the public until the expansion, and then they closed it off to become the new entryway for Club 33, and they redecorated it quite a bit. But it's this open-air courtyard in the middle of everything.
With like a really pretty staircase that goes up.
It's a beautiful staircase. It's statues, and that's also where the new lift is. They have tea there. They have like seating areas, like a little patio.
They gave us wet towels to wash our hands. They said in the summer they're cold, and in the winter they're warm. Mm-hmm.
Yay.
This is so fun.
The main lobby is actually upstairs. And from there, that's when you can get where you can get to all the other member areas.
They sell Club 33 merchandise.
Yes. There is the restaurant there is called the Grand Salon. And that's the main dining area. If you look up in New Orleans Square and you see this lights balcony on. with tables set up. Whether or not you see people there or not, that is the Grand Salon. They have some seating available outside on the patio, but most of it is in that area right there. And then there's also the Club 33 Lounge, which is in a different part upstairs, still over part of New Orleans Square. That one we actually do not have access to because we are silver members and you have to be a platinum member in order to access that lounge.
Yeah, I guess we'll just talk about that quick. So if someone happened to become a new member, they're silver. Platinum, you have to graduate into, like you have to be elevated. They do have a thing called gold, if you're asking why is there silver and platinum, but they were original members and they're not offering it anymore. So they're still, like people are just dying off or not renewing their gold memberships. So.
Yeah. So that's everything in... the New Orleans Square portion. There's also these beautiful restrooms that when they told us you can't take any photos in the restroom, I was like, why in the world would anyone want to take photos
PSA,
in the restroom?
PSA, don't ever take any pictures
you
in any restroom.
Take pictures in a restroom. But then I went in there and
yeah,
I
haven't been in yet.
Oh, this is why they say don't take pictures because it is beautiful in there. But yeah, no pictures in there. And also, if you're wondering why on our Instagram there were no videos, it is a strict no video policy inside Club 33. So that's why.
Yeah, we were allowed to take pictures of the spaces. They
and
said,
of ourselves, but yep, not of other
don't
members.
Don't take pictures of other members and no video.
Yeah. And then there's also, in California Adventure, there is a lounge called the 1901 Lounge. It's exclusive for Club 33 members and their guests.
Which we did not even know. It's right there.
I knew it existed. I knew what building it was in, but I never saw the door. And I feel stupid that I never saw the door.
So if you're at the entrance of Carthay Circle, to the left is where, well, there's a host standing there.
So you go up to the main doors of the Carthay Circle, and you'll notice there's three doorways. Two of them are always left open, and there's a third that's always kept closed. That third door is the 1901 Lounge.
Yep.
In fact, as you walk past the Carthay Circle, heading toward like Avengers Campus or Pixar Pier, Cars Land, anything like that, and you look over and on the ground level, there's these windows. You're thinking, oh, those are windows into the Carthay Circle Lounge. No.
It's the 1901 Lounge.
Those are the windows into the 1901 Lounge. So anyone in there is a Club 33 member.
Which, interestingly, if you're a gold member, which is above us, they are not allowed in.
They're not technically above us. Remember, they're being grandfathered out.
That's true. But I mean, gold is more precious than
silver. But they're calling gold for a different reason. Yeah. Anyway, so that's the membership space in California Adventure. And that is actually where we ate, is at that lounge. They serve mostly the same food as at the Carthay Circle. Then every once in a while they have different cocktails or different specials that they do just for the 1901 lounge that you don't do anywhere else, but it's beautiful inside.
Yeah, and one of the, was he said he was a manager, was talking with us, which is interesting. The same like executive team does the Grand Salon, 1901 Lounge, and Napa Rose.
No, they said not the Grand Salon. Did they?
I think so.
No, he was saying he's in charge of the
Napa.
The Carthay Circle.
Oh, that's right.
He's in charge of the Carthay. He's at the Signature Dining team, which he's a member of the Signature Dining team, includes the Grand Salon, the Napa Rose, and the Carthay Circle, and the 1901 Lounge.
Yep.
So, yeah. It gets kind of confusing, leadership stuff, but anyway. I can understand where you're coming from, but yeah, he's just the manager of just the Carthay Circle, everything at the Carthay Circle. But
yeah, he was super nice, and it was such a fun experience eating in there, and very quiet.
Yeah.
The crowds are just right over there.
It was really, really, really cool. So you'll probably hear us every once in a while.
We'll probably give you a little...
We'll probably, if we hear us mentioning those sorts of things, like, and then we went to the 1901 Lounge, that's what that is. Or... anyway, it's
totally surreal.
It still doesn't feel real.
I
wish that some of the members there were a little bit friendlier.
Oh my God. They were so nice. They were like, welcome. Congratulations.
Very outgoing people. They were really
so
fun.
Nice.
So, that's that. I mean, if you do have questions that you want to know a little bit more about, like to a certain extent, there's a certain level of anonymity that every Club 33 member does kind of enjoy, because it kind of adds to the ambiance of everything. But you're welcome to ask questions, and we will talk with you guys about it, because it's just really, really cool.
Yeah.
It's fun. And
the mystique is what makes it kind of fun. Like, it is. When we were not members, we're like, what is this? What?
So at any rate, I know they were kind of going long, but I mean, it's Club 33, so it's special. So.
Maybe it'll be a 33-minute long episode.
It's longer than that. I can guarantee you that one. So, at any rate, you can still, right now, and it's still going on for a few days, I shouldn't forget to mention this, that if you book your tickets for around Halloween time with Getaway Today right now, they have some Halloween specials going on where you can get like $13 off tickets and stuff. So make them a little bit cheaper. Why not go for that? So use the link in our description to get those.
And use our extra code DL4EVER10.
And we have an
extra $10 off.
Maybe it's just DL4EVER.
That's what I thought it was.
Maybe it was DL4EVER.
Just look below.
Do one or the other. And then I think that's it for Getaway Today.
Yep. And make sure you follow us on Instagram and Facebook for the latest news and information and pictures.
And sorry, my brain is...
Subscribe to us so you get...
It's been a long day, guys. Our flight back home was at 7:10 this morning.
Yeah, we got up very early.
It was really, really early. So make sure that you subscribe to the podcast, get new episodes as they drop. But we will see you guys next week.
Bye.
Bye.